Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
All right, what is going on, everybody? How you doing? Welcome to another episode of Talking Buffalo Podcast, part of the Blue Wire Network. I'm your host, Patrick Moran. You can find me on Twitter, at Pat Moran Tweets. It is Friday. That means it's Casual Friday. That means, as always, like always, I should say, I'm joined by my good friend, writer, podcaster, sports media guru. I like saying that word, guru. My man, Joe Yurden. What's up, buddy? How you doing?
Doing good, man. We're it's nice to kind of get into a real winter here. You know, like we've had soft winter to this point, and I think finally this past week we had a real taste of winter. And you're probably very annoyed at that.
I am very annoyed at it. There's no question about it.
Let me say, I finally had to like actually wear my winter coat out to go, you know, to go outside and do stuff. And I was like, yeah, it's fine. But like the temperature was like under 20 degrees. And I was like, I don't even feel it at all. And I was like, do I not have any nerves anymore? Am I senses broken? This should affect me in some way, but it was fine. I think it was probably because there was no wind. That probably helped out.
I know Buffalo is known as a tough town. You know, you term Buffalo tough all the time, and it's just a very blue collar city. I'm all right with admitting that that's not me. I'm not like that, man. I am not tough. I am not very blue collar. I do not like being cold. And quite frankly, so we're taping this like we usually do Casual Friday. We usually tape this around lunchtime-ish on Thursday afternoons. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Well, Wednesday wasn't bad. Monday, I think it might have been Monday. I didn't leave my house. It was just too damn cold. Tuesday was pretty much the same. I left my house pretty much because I work from home. All right. So I don't have to get up and go to an office. And then I have a second job, but I don't work until later on Thursday. But anyway, I think I've left my house one time in the last 3 days just because it's just too damn cold for me, man. And I'm and in fairness to me too, I'm also not used to it. You know, that makes a difference too. Like you get a little used to
got you a little bit of a break.
A little bit. Not much. I mean, I don't deserve much of a break, but maybe a little bit because it's just it's too cold. By the way, before we get started, of course, obviously we're gonna talk Bills. I mean, this is a huge week. Buffalo Bills, New England Patriots, round three for all the marbles. Literally, this is a playoff game. We'll talk Sabres. Things have taken a turn for the worse, to put it mildly. We'll talk about that. This week's starting five draft. We are doing I'm excited about it. I mean, look, I always like doing these drafts with you. Win, lose, or draw, and I usually lose. But I always have fun doing them with you. It's always a good time. But there are certain topics that are like I get really excited about. And today's one of them. We're doing 80s movie soundtrack. Man, I can't wait for that. But anyway, I do have to tell you, and this ain't funny. I don't even know why I'm smiling right now. Oh, by the way, too, everyone's listening to this podcast like normal. Hopefully you are anyway. Joe and I are experimenting on StreamYard because sooner or later, we're going to start dropping, I've been talking about this on the show, some video elements. Not necessarily the whole entire podcast won't be on YouTube, but certainly clips from it. Highlights from this will be on there. Some live streaming stuff coming up in the future. So anyway, this is our first time kind of experimenting with graphics and doing this on StreamYard. But anyway, I say that because I kind of had a smile on my face. Well, this is actually no laughing matter involving COVID, of course, because, you know, what else is there?
Right.
my daughter is, and my daughter is in her early 20s. Her and her boyfriend, and by the way, let me also preface this too. I'm not really complaining too much because there are literally tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people and families out there where the result ends up much worse, okay? And like life and death. This wasn't life and death. This was more of a really bad inconvenience. Anyway, my daughter and her boyfriend saved up for a long time, like a lot of people, to go on a cruise, a vacation together. And they went to Punta Cana last week. And they were supposed to come home Monday night. And I was to pick up my daughter from the airport and her boyfriend. And they test. And now to fly back in the United States, you have to test, you know, obviously for COVID. On Monday morning, my daughter's boyfriend tested positive for COVID. And long story short, for 3.5 days, didn't get to come home. Quarantining and in a room and no sun. I mean, like no wind, no nothing. A quarantine room in Punta Cana, stuck in a foreign country, not in the United States, because of COVID. Now he tested positive. No, she tested negative every day. I'm telling you, Joe. Me, my son, my daughter have tiger blood, man. We're going to be the only three people, I think, in the world when this is all said and done to not get COVID. But seriously, I'm not joking here when I say this. That sucks. You know, you're trying to get back home. You got a life, got work, you got responsibilities, and stuck in another country when tested positive for COVID. And obviously my daughter wasn't going to fly back home without him. Although ultimately by Wednesday she did. He made her leave. Goes, you got to go back home and do stuff. So anyway, he's just, hopefully tonight, I believe Thursday night, he's going to be getting back home. But man, getting stuck in another country, testing positive for COVID at a resort when you're on a vacation.
Yeah.
That sucks. That's the worst. That's not the worst, because again, there's worse outcomes. And by the way, other than some minor ailments, he's felt fine, you know, but that sucks, dude.
And the thing is, it comes completely unexpected too. Like you're like, I know it's going to be in the back of everybody's mind when you go somewhere, but I mean, at the same point, it's like, you're going on vacation. You're like, all right, get me away from all this stuff. Let me just relax, go to the beach, have a nice time, you know, get some pina coladas, call, you know, just enjoy things.
Yeah.
And then suddenly it's just like, hey, by the way, you're not going anywhere for the next 3 days at least. Get into this room, stay there. Don't go anywhere else, please. Thank you. You know, and it's like, neat, cool. You've turned like a beautiful tropical getaway into a total hell because this sucks. You know, what can you even do about that?
There's nothing.
All they can do is just like, all right, cool, guess I'm here. Like, that's awesome. Thanks.
There's nothing you can do about it. It's just every walk of life at this point, COVID obviously is affected. And again, I'm nitpicky here, and I'm not, there could have been a much worse outcome. That's just a serious inconvenience, but that sucks. But anyway, I wanted to get that out of the way. I want to jump right into the Bills here, because this is a big game. It is a big week. A big Buffalo sports week, period. And let me ask you this. This is where I want to go with this conversation right now. When it comes to the Buffalo Bills in this game specifically, we've been talking about, like, it's a big thing on Twitter, and understandably so. The weather will be a factor. It's expected to be potentially as low as 0 degrees come kickoff Saturday night. Just absolutely bone-chilling, frigid weather. Now, the first time the Bills played the Patriots, it wasn't that cold, but there was, like, 30 mile an hour winds or whatever have you, maybe even more than that. It was just really bad. This time around, hopefully that won't be an issue, but cold, that's an issue. When it's 0 degrees, man, that's an issue. That is an obvious concern. If you're a Buffalo Bills fan, that concerns you. The Bills are built, well, they've been running the ball much better of late, but the Bills have a quarterback and they're meant to sling the ball around. You know, that's how they win football games. I've said it before, turnovers is the biggest thing. But aside from that, weather can also be the great equalizer when a team that might be more talented on paper plays a team that maybe is a little less inferior. And you could argue if New England's even inferior whatsoever. But anyway, my point is, weather's obviously going to be a factor. We don't need to talk about that. Everyone's talking about that. I wanted to ask you, going into this game, and everyone who listens to the show, you know, Joe's not a Bills fan. And I, right. And I like that. And
a Bills watcher.
You're a Bills watcher. Yeah. Yes. You're an avid Bills watcher, not necessarily a Bills fan. And I like that.
I have to be a Bills watcher around here. You don't have a choice otherwise.
Right. But as a Bills, all right, well, forget the word fan. As a Bills watcher, then, what are, in your opinion, at least one or two other non-weather concerns? Again, because we could talk about the weather for the next hour and how that may affect, and that might bring up at some point. But aside from the weather, moving past that, what are a couple of things about this game that concerns you most?
Well, one thing that I would be in the back of my mind is how poorly New England's played the last 4 or 5 weeks, basically since they lost to Buffalo a few weeks back. Like, they've been not great at all. They've looked pretty bad. They've had some very questionable games where it's just like, yeah, what the heck's going on with this team? Like, I think they lost like, what, 3 of their last 4 games, I think, going into the postseason. Like, I don't know, man. Like, that's something where you could look at that and go, yeah, all right, Bills are hot right now. They're playing really well, granted, against some pretty trash teams, but let's not get down that road again. But I mean, it's not like New England's been playing world beating teams either. Like, they look bad against the Colts, whatever. So did the Bills, so I would try to not get that in my head. Like, yeah, these guys are coming in pretty soft. Like, we can knock them around. You don't want to do that, because the other factor is you're playing them for the third time. There's not a lot of secrets left.
Right.
You've kind of, and I know the first game's kind of a throwaway to a degree, because that was just like, you basically saw every run play out of New England's playbook in that game. And, the Bills were still trying to do a normal day of play calling, even though they couldn't in that game. And then the second game was a little bit more normal as far as that goes. And if you don't have the other team scouted out well enough to kind of have an idea of like anything that they might do, then you've done a poor job of scouting them out. But there's no secrets anymore. You know what the other team can do. You know what they're capable of, and you know pretty much the kind of plays that they're going to run. Like, New England's going to lean a little bit more on the run, just because Mac Jones struggled. They struggled in protecting him. He struggled in throwing the ball. They want to try to have as much of a Titans game against Buffalo as they can,
sure,
where, they use the run, set up the play action, and hope that the play action is enough to freeze the defense so that they can get some passes away. Those are my concerns with it as far as Buffalo goes, where, like, you're not, I don't get psyched, if I'm Buffalo, I don't get psyched out about the coach thing. Like, McDermott took it very to heart after, they lost in Buffalo this season, that he got, outcoached by Belichick. And it's like, well, you kind of did, bud. But he took an offense to it, and he, tried to, essentially whip it out and show it to New England in Foxborough. And he did it, they did a good job at that, because they really handled the Patriots well. But at the same point, like, you can only get that worked up once about things. Like, if anything, Belichick's going to be like, oh, you think you're all good now? Okay, cool. Like, let me get out my double secret playbook and have my double secret spies who have been hanging around in Buffalo all week try to get me some surprises about stuff. But yeah, I'm not worrying all that much about New England, because the Bills are the better team. Like, that's straight up, flat out, like, that's the case. The weather could be an issue, but, like, I mean, whatever, we'll see. If Allen's passes are so hard that his guys can't catch it because it's 0 degrees out, then I don't know, man. Wear thicker gloves, I guess.
I got a couple things that I want to add. I think there are a couple things that I go into this game as a Bills fan concerned about. But before that, let me ask you this. And I had Anthony from Cover One on earlier this week, and I had Benjamin Albright on as well. I asked them both the same question, and they had different answers. Well, actually, they had the same answer, but just one was much more emphatic about it than the other. And just like I told them, this is completely hypothetical. It means nothing. It's a moot point, because the Buffalo Bills are playing the New England Patriots on Saturday night. Simple as that. But when you were watching that game last Sunday, and the Chargers and the Raiders are going down in the last 5 minutes, and it just was absolutely apeshit bonkers, did you find yourself, maybe this is a tough question for you, because, again, you are a Bills watcher, not necessarily a Bills fan. Yeah. You don't necessarily want what's best for the Buffalo Bills. But do you think that, all right, let me ask you this. And do you think the Bills are better off playing the Patriots than they would have been playing the Los Angeles Chargers had the Chargers found a way to win or tie that game on Sunday night?
Yes. Yeah. No, 100%.
You'd rather play the Patriots?
Yes. No, absolutely. Like, and I think part of it goes back to, you know what they're about. Like, you know what you know what they can do. You've seen it. You know what they're capable of. Sure. You've already shown what you can do against Jones. You've already shown, you know, that, yeah, their run game can be an issue against your team. Okay, fine. But like, you know what you're dealing with the Chargers, you don't really have too much of an idea, because you know, they've got really good receivers. You know that your secondary is not as strong as it should be. I mean, guys are playing great. Like, let's not get it lost that, you know, they're a ship without a mast, without Trey White. But that's a different thing when you're dealing with three guys who can catch the ball straight up in the receiver tree. And then you have Eckler coming out of the backfield. That creates a whole lot of different issues. And Herbert doesn't seem to get phased too much. Like, even in games where he's struggled, he puts it back together later on in the game, where, you know, if he has a bad first quarter or first half, he lights it up in the second half. So I the last team I'd want to deal with was the Chargers, honestly. As a first game, I don't want that, because you know, if you get past the first round, your next 2-3 games, should you get that far, are going to be hell, because you're going to get good teams, because that's the AFC. The AFC's got a ton of good teams. Starting off with a team like LA, not something I would be looking forward to, because it's not a team that it's not like a team they've played at all this season. Like, they haven't played another, aside from Kansas City, and again, you know, the big asterisk around Kansas City, aside from them, they haven't really played a team that likes to sling the ball around and throw it a bunch and has a quarterback that can win, as opposed to, well, the system's good, but the quarterback might suck. You know, like that's kind of where that's at with it. So the fact that it was coming down that there very well could have been a tie and you got to deal with the Chargers, I would have been like, come on, man. Like, somebody please win. Like, just, you know, the whole overtime, you're just like, please, somebody have some pride and win the game, please, because you don't want to deal with that. But, I mean, hey, everything worked out. But, yeah, if the choice is the Chargers or the Patriots, I want to play the Patriots. I don't care. History doesn't matter. None of that matters as far as I'm concerned.
I couldn't agree with you more. So we're clear here. I completely 100% agree. Ben Albright completely disagreed. And, look, I respect the hell out of Ben. His attitude, his mindset was, the Chargers are a much inferior team there. You know, you're talking about a team going out to the East Coast. They don't run the ball. Their offensive line has issues. Their defense is saying their suspect is putting it mildly. Let me tell you why, though. And I could kind of tie this into the Bills right now and make this relevant. I don't put it this by the end of that game, I was rooting for the Raiders like the Bills were almost playing. I did not want nothing to do with the Chargers because, yes, they could go out. The Bills could have beat the Chargers 45-14, but they very well could have lost 45-42. Justin Herbert's that guy. He could cover up a lot of mistakes. And I like every game where the Bills go into it, where we have the better quarterback. I don't like saying the word we. I hate that. That's fan talk. When the Bills have the better quarterback, I feel good about their chances. Josh Allen could play the Chargers. He could go out. He could throw for 4 touchdowns, 350 yards, no turnovers, and they could lose that game 45-42 because the Chargers have that firepower with Justin Herbert and their weapons. Now, again, the defense is trash, but I don't know. I like the enemy that I know, and there's a couple teams in the playoffs where I feel that way about the Bills. Potentially a round 2 matchup with Kansas City. They could go sling the ball and find themselves in a shootout where they lose 45-42. Maybe even the Bengals with Joey Burrow. No, but there's certain teams where I feel like the Bills have the better quarterback, and if the offense plays the way it's capable of, nobody's beating them. On that day, I should say, whether it's Tennessee, whether it is, New England, for starters. So that's the reason why I'd rather play the Patriots, just because the Chargers are more dangerous. The Patriots aren't going to beat themselves. You're going to have to go out and beat them. They're not going to hand you the game, I don't think. But I think I agree with you. I think the Bills are, on paper anyway, the superior team. But there are two things that concern me about this game beyond the weather. And again, the worse the weather is, I think, and this is another thing that people have been debating all week, the weather is advantageous to New England because anything that will slow down Josh Allen, Matt Jones, it could be 80 degrees out. He's not on Josh Allen's level. But anything that might bring Josh down a little bit towards Mac Jones because of weather would be advantageous to New England. So that goes without saying. But the two things beyond weather that concern me about this game is, one, I talked about it 10 minutes ago, and I hate to bring it up, COVID. That could happen. I'm concerned. I'm going to wake up. We're taping this Thursday. I'm going to wake up and be scared on Friday, and I'm going to wake up and I'm going to be scared on Saturday that you get a tweet or a message, you know, the Bills announced Josh Allen has entered COVID protocol, or Stephon Diggs has entered protocol, or what, Mitch Morse. There's a bunch, I could go on for a long time. You know what? You get my point.
Right.
That's an equalizer right now, and it's unfortunate, and there's a good chance if things go the way they went over the last, what, 6 weeks of the NFL season, there's going to be NFL games that are going to get directly impacted, if not flat out decided, by teams that are able to avoid COVID versus a team that gets stricken with it at the wrong time. So that is a concern of mine. And then the other concern is the Bills have won 11 games this year, Joe, and 11 times they won by 12 or more points. They win, they beat you, they flex on you, they rout you. What the Bills have not been good at this year are one-score games. The Buffalo Bills are 0-5 this year in one-score games. They lost to New England already by 4. They lost to Tampa in overtime by 3. They lost to the Jags by 3. They lost to Tennessee by 3 or 4 points on like one of the last plays of the game. So I'm concerned that if New England finds a way to slow this game down, do a couple things right, catch a couple breaks, and now we're in the fourth quarter and we're 5-6 minutes left in a one-score game, are the Bills going to get tight and make a big mistake? I think that's a valid concern. Do you?
Yeah, no, I 100% think that's a valid concern, because what we've seen in those games, those close games that they've lost, is that they really look, I don't know if the right word is, they don't look composed. I don't want to say fragile. I think fragile is too, I think that's too much of a bite.
Sure.
They're not composed in those close games. You know, somebody or multiple guys will come up small in those moments. You know, some couple of times it's been Allen, a couple of times it's been some of the receivers. You know, sometimes it's a guy drop, you know, put the ball in Zach Moss, put the ball on the ground. Even Singletary's, you know, guilty of that. The past, whatever. But like this year, those big spots where they need, you know, and a lot of those games comes down to the offense needing to make a play. The offense hasn't done that in those big spots, you know, those close games. You know, people are going to be like, well, you know, they should have won the Tennessee game. Yeah, probably should have. But, you know, Allen still slips, you know, trying to push forward for a first down. You know, they could have kicked the field goal and tied it and gone to overtime, sure, but they didn't. They, you know, it's a game probably 9 times out of 10 that they win, but they didn't that time. And it happens to be in this season where other games in that same spot, they haven't won. So if it is a close game, I want to see how they respond, because if they respond by nutting up and saying like, you know, screw this, we're not going to lose this game, you know, that's a great build for them, because that's something they haven't done all season. That's the kind of thing where you go, okay, this team's different now, you know, because you're going in with that thought of like, man, they better beat them by 2 scores, because I don't like the possibility of this getting too close for comfort.
Sure.
Just because you've seen them come up small in those spots all season. And that's not what you know, that's not a championship team kind of thing, you know, whether it's a conference championship or the Super Bowl. Like the teams don't get away with winning, just blowing teams out constantly. You have to win some of those close games occasionally. Even the Rams, the greatest show on turf team, like they still had to win a close game. They, you know, the game against the Super Bowl against Tennessee was a close game. They still won it.
Yeah. Look, you know, Joe, the Bills go to the Super Bowl and let's worry about New England first, but if they go to Super Bowl, they win 3 in a row in this AFC playoffs. I highly doubt they're winning 3 games in a row by double digits where they're not at some point late in the second half finding themselves, whether they're up a score or down a score, where they're going to have to pull it out. And this whole sugar Josh thing, like sugar high Josh Allen, who, you know, he tends to force stuff. But at the same token, I think that's something though you live with, because I mean, like that touchdown, the Stephon Diggs was one of the greatest plays I've seen him make in his entire career last Sunday. Just nobody makes that play. But then he throws a maddening interception as well. So I guess I'm worried about them getting a little tight if it gets to be late in the game. That said, don't really need to do a prediction segment here. I'm pretty confident based on what you've said and what I've said. We both think Buffalo is going to find a way. I don't know if it's necessarily going to be a blowout or not. I think if the Bills could get up early, I think it could get ugly. If you make Mac Jones have to be a thrower, that's a situation where I see the Bills winning by two or three scores.
Yeah, this is the kind of game where I think Bill Belichick wants to check back into the old Bill Parcells way of playing a game.
Sure.
Grind it down, eat up tons of clock, keep the dangerous offense off the field. I don't need to remind everybody about Super Bowl 25. That's everybody's got that etched into their memory here. But
sure.
But that's the way you have to play this Bills team. You have to find a way to eat up tons of clock and make sure that their offense stays off the field. If you can grind them down and eat up a lot of time and just keep knacking away at first downs and, you know, having, you know, go to third down every drive and, you know, pull out a, you know, do your 3 yards in a cloud of dust offense. Like that's the way you can beat Buffalo. It's a hell of a way to do it. And if you pull it off, well, you deserve to win that rate. But I don't know. The Bills defense has played very well the last few weeks. Again, garbage competition. Everybody was doing their own version of a touchdown dance, you know, as far as fans goes, you know, beating up on the Jets. And I'm just like, well, guys, listen, the fact that, you know, if that game gets, you know, at all close, you're just kind of like, what are you doing? Like, this is stupid. But you know, it's nothing but good teams from here on out. So, you know, if you get to put it on somebody and beat them by 20, 30 points, do it, you know, have fun with it, but, you know, stay focused too. You know, if you can pull a Raiders 51-3 game again, like do it against New England, like that's pretty cool.
Save that for a week or two later. But, and then one last thing too, Anthony Prohaska from Cover One, when he was on Wednesday, brought up a good point. The weather, even if it is 0 degrees and it looks like it's going to be close to that, it's going to be cold. It's going to be uncomfortable, but there's a difference between being cold and uncomfortable and being able to be limited or have to be limited to what you can do offensively because of the wind. So I think fans don't want no wind either, but the players, I think the Bills are more concerned about the wind. And Anthony brought up a great point on Wednesday that the first time the teams played, the wind was a big factor because New England decided Josh Allen was going to be able to throw the ball deep with any consistency. So by not having to respect the deep ball, New England was bringing a lot of guys up and really trying to clog up the short and intermediate routes for Josh Allen. Whereas, again, if it's cold, as cold as it may be, if Josh has the ability to throw that ball 30 yards on the field, that's just more blades of grass that that New England's going to have to respect. This is, again, we like to make predictions on this podcast all the time, and we're not afraid to look back and sound like idiots. This might be a situation where we do it. Maybe not. I don't know. But now with the playoffs starting, before we move on, I do want to ask you, man. I got to ask you. Give me your, let's look beyond this week and let's look beyond the next 2 weeks. 3 weeks from now, 3.5 weeks, whatever it may be. Give me your Super Bowl pick, man. Who's going to be playing the Super Bowl? And I think it's in LA this year in early February. Yeah. Who you got?
You know, I have been thinking about this a bit just because you have to. Like, you can't.
It's what we
you
do.
Can't not think about the freaking Super Bowl. Like, we're in the playoffs now. You got to dig in on it. And you know, there's so many ways that this could really go. And I know it's like, well, yeah, no kidding, Joe. Duh. but I know, like, that. I think, like, the chic pick for the NFC is the Packers, but I just don't trust them. I don't know. Maybe it's just because it's the Packers from every past playoff that they always come up small. And granted, that's with Mike McCarthy coaching, where, you know, he comes up small. Looking at you, Cowboys.
Sure.
Looking right at you, Dallas Cowboys. If the Cowboys made the Super Bowl, I'd be shocked beyond shocked. But that's because I think the coach is bad. I think those teams succeed because they have the talent, not because they have the coach. But I don't know. Something about Green Bay doesn't sit right with me. It's like we talked about this whole season. Everybody has a fatal flaw. Every team's got a fatal flaw.
Yep.
I think Tampa Bay is too banged up. I think, you know, I mean, yeah, they got the offense. Are, you know, great, cool. Like, that's fine. They get to use Le'Veon Bell now as their running back. Like, nice to be able to pull those guys off the free agent pile. But as far as the Super Bowl, I don't know. I think I'm more concerned about who comes out of the NFC because I really think the AFC is down to, I think it's down to Buffalo, Kansas City, and because I don't even buy in Tennessee. I'm not even buying on the Titans. I don't, you know, we'll see what happens with Henry back, but I don't trust them. Like, you know, it's just like, we've seen Tennessee look really bad against a couple of really bad teams. You know, Buffalo, we've seen it look bad against Jacksonville. Okay, fine. You know, they get whooped up on by the Colts. Like, right, whatever, aberration game. Man, this I take predictions way too serious as my brother.
There's a lot of thought going into this prediction from Joe Yurden right now. I like it.
Because like I look at it because it's like a reflection on your intelligence, and that's total bullshit. Like it's never the case. It's just
complete bullshit. Yeah. Throw it out there. Let's go. Come on, baby.
I think it's, you know.
Don't worry. If you're wrong, all I'm going to do is call you out on Twitter and probably probably put a clip of this up on YouTube. That's it.
I'm still looking to see where Washington football team is in the playoffs. Did they get a bye?
They're not the number two seed. No, they're not.
Because I'm looking at the schedule. I don't see them on here. Also, I see the Titans are playing next week. But yeah, they made the playoffs?
Yep.
Okay. Sorry, I don't know why I brought that up. That's really weird. It's funny. You know, I'm being such an asshole. You know what? I'm gonna do a sweetheart call here. I'm gonna say this is gonna be the Super Bowl of 2 years ago. I think it's gonna be Kansas City and the Rams.
Kansas City and the Rams.
I want this is heart over brains because I want to see Matthew Stafford win a Super Bowl. People are just like, well, I don't know, you know, a whole season was like, I didn't know this guy was that good. Is he a new guy? Like, shut up.
Now I'm gonna be fair to you, okay? Because I knew I was gonna ask you this question, so I've already had plenty of time to process. Whereas you were doing this as I asked you, were having to process this all.
You had responses ready to go.
No, I have had mine ready to go. And here's the funny thing: you ready for this? Mm-hmm. I got the exact same thing. I got the exact same thing. I have the exact same thing. I look. I know Bills fans don't want to hear this, and I am a Bills fan. Unlike you, I hope I'm wrong. And I do think, first of all, again, let's not take it for granted the Bills are going to beat the Patriots. But if they do, I, in my heart of hearts, think the Bills can beat the Kansas City Chiefs. I want to make that really clear. Mm-hmm. But I've been saying it for 2 months now. I've asked several people on this podcast, if my life depended on getting it right, who's going to get to the Super Bowl, I'm still going with Kansas City. They've done it twice in a row. The offense is woken up. The defense is playing good enough. They pretty much almost have a bye going into this first round with Pittsburgh. So Pittsburgh's got no chance to win that game. I'm just going to say that right now. And if I'm wrong, I'll eat my words big time. And
you'll be happy about it. Right. You'll be very happy about it.
And I agree with you about Tennessee. I'm not even sure Tennessee will beat Cincinnati. Actually, you know what? The Raiders might beat Cincinnati. That might be the big upset of the week, by the way. The Raiders over Cincinnati. Yeah. But anyway, I'm blabbing on here. At the end of the day, I think the Chiefs are going to win the AFC. NFC, I agree with you about the Packers and I don't even think the Packers are going to get to the championship game. They're going to have a bye this week. And if things play out with Dallas, Tampa, and the Rams all win, the Rams go to Green Bay. I think the Rams are going to beat Green Bay. I think Tampa's a little too banged up with injuries. At some point, Tom Brady's got to fall off a little bit, right? Maybe it'll happen in the playoffs. Who knows? But for us, well, this would be and it's in LA too. So it would end up being a home game. But I got Kansas City against the Rams too. So funny. We actually agreed on something. So now we could bust each other. That's why I was kind of laughing in my mind when you arrived at that. I'm like, you know what? You just did all that. I can't make fun of you because if I make fun of you, I'm fucking making fun of myself too. So,
well, you know what that means? That means we're definitely both wrong. But I know people are going to bag on us for picking Kansas City, but I still subscribe to the Ric Flair thinking. To be the man, you got to beat the man.
Yep.
And, you know, it's, you know, a lot of dumb things people always say is like, well, it doesn't really count unless you beat so-and-so. It's like, well, I think if you're Buffalo, you don't have to worry about that because if you're going to the Super Bowl, you got to beat Kansas City at some point. Like, that's flat out. Like, I, you know, again, don't buy on Tennessee. I don't buy on, you know, Raiders or Bengals, whatever. You know, Bengals haven't won a playoff game since 1990 or 91, like whatever. Like, it's something like a house gets dropped on somebody on Cincinnati, and it's just like, well, that's their playoff luck. You know, I keep thinking of that dude from the Steelers hitting Carson Palmer in the knees, like on the first, you know, the first play, first drive in that playoff game in Cincinnati years ago. And then Palmer was just done. And they tried to beat the Pittsburgh Steelers with the backup quarterback. It was just like, well, you're not doing that. Like, you probably weren't beating the Steelers anyways, but you're definitely not doing it without your quarterback. So, you know, that, but like, yeah, the Ric Flair way of looking at things has never served me wrong in the past. So, you know, if Buffalo's going to do it, hey, you got to exercise all your demons, man. Like, that's almost like an unwritten sports rule. Like, if you're going to win a title, you got to beat all the people that have haunted you on the way.
I think at the end of the day, we don't talk about it much and it hasn't affected them much, but I think there's going to come a time where the Trey White injury is really going to be a decimating factor to the season. And I think that we, hopefully not, but I fear that it's going to come next week in Arrowhead against Kansas City. And maybe I would have felt a little bit better had the Bills won one more game that game been in Buffalo. Maybe my mindset would be a little bit different, but we'll see what happens. Anyway, let's take a really quick break. Going to come back on the other side, talk Sabres, and do our starting five draft. Be right back.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, I'm back. Casual Friday, Joe Yurden. And, let's talk Sabres. So you put up a post this week on your Noted Hockey Substack, and the title is just, it's just so extremely fitting when things get grim again. What a fitting title, man. This has been a very, well, from a win-loss standpoint, and let's emphasize what we've been talking about most this year, that Sabres fans should not be putting too much stock into wins and losses, which is good because the Sabres are 3-13-4 in their last 20 games, and they're 5-18-5 since starting 5-1-1 at the beginning of the season. And by the way, this is going into tonight's game on Thursday night. We're taping this before the game. As we tape this right now, the Sabres are at 26 points. They're sitting 28th in the NHL. The only teams they have more points in is Seattle, Ottawa, Arizona, and Montreal. It's feeling like a bottom five season again. Best case with this goaltending injury circus, which, again, you talk about some of the grim stuff. We already know about all the COVID protocols and all these guys having to miss and the injuries. And now UPL's out week to week. I mean, he's going to be out several weeks. And Subban's out for months. Who knows? It's January. Who even knows if he comes back this year at all? Michael Hauser's back. Aaron Dell is not only back. He's, for at least this moment, their number one goaltender, which is really bad. I mean,
dire.
You ain't lying, dude. Things suddenly took a really grim turn with this hockey club this past week.
Yeah, it's It's not just frustrating. It's disappointing because there are a lot of really good things going on with this team. And I know it feels like you're kind of rooting around in the garbage to find them because things have been very bad of late. You know, they've won 5 of their last 24 games. Not great. That's really not great at all. But at least from those games, you're able to take away good things. Like you could, you know, Tage Thompson having a breakout season. That's awesome. You love to see that. Darlene's been very good the last 3 weeks. People are still nitpicking on his game, whatever, it comes with the territory, but he's been very good. Dylan Cousins has been outstanding all season. People are just like, where are the points? Nobody has points in this team. Like, relax about the points. Point is, he's playing some very dominant style hockey. He's just, you know, the team's not deep enough. They're too thin on talent right now. So all the positive things they have going, you know, Rasmus Asplund's having a dynamite season. He's become one of the better defensive forwards on this team. You know, things like that where you're having these kinds of breakouts. Even Lukanen was playing outstanding before he gets banged up. And, you know, I know he was having he had a rough first period against Tampa, but who knows how long he was dealing with whatever his injury was there. Like, I mean, you know, you give up 3 goals to Tampa. Like, that's, I don't know, that kind of happens to everybody at some point. Like, that two-time defending cup champs, stuff happens. But you know, I think back to about a month ago when things were really bad with goaltending. You know, Aaron Dell was giving up tons of goals. You know, they were getting no help from anybody. You know, they go out and get Malcolm Subban to try to kind of put a tourniquet on things because the team was playing well, but they were getting no results because they weren't getting wins because the goaltending was so bad. So, you know, but now you're back to not even square one, you're beyond square one at this point because Dell's your number one guy now. Hauser, who, you know, you played at the end of last year as, you know, because you had goaltending injuries coming out the wazoo last year. You know, listen, Hauser was a great story last year, but now he's your backup again. And you don't know for how long. I don't know, man. Like, that's it feels very defeating. And I get why fans have begun to be like, throw their hands up and just go, you know what? No, not right now. I got the Bills to worry about. Like, I got other things I could be doing with my time. I get it. I 100% get it. But it's just, I hope that guys like Granato and Adams don't feel like there's undue pressure on how things are going right now, because all this is just, you know, falling apart. It hasn't even like come apart of the seams. It's just like, you know, it's just kind of crumbled in front of them. They're just kind of cool. Like, you know, they put in all these safeguards along the way to try to, you know, just try to steady things and buoy things out. And it still like falls apart. It's just like, oh man, like what else can you do? You know, everybody, so many teams in the league have goaltending issues. It's not only like you can go trade for one at this point, because was it like not even 4 days ago we were talking about, you know, Tokarski was, you know, making his way back. He's going to be back soon. You're like, okay, you know, are you sending Lukanen down or are you going to put Subban on waivers? Because if you put Subban on waivers, he's probably going to get snatched up by, you know, one of 5 teams that desperately needs goaltending help right now. So you're just kind of going through those motions. It's like, geez, what are we going to do? And now suddenly you have no options because now you have, you know, your guy who was your backup number 3 in Rochester now as your backup. It's hard, man. Like, it's so difficult. And even, you know, I think Matt Robson was Rochester's starter on Wednesday night. And Rochester got up 7-3 in that game, and they held on to win 7-6, which you don't like to see that. And, you know, Utica's got their own problems because the Devils are decimated by injuries and COVID. So it's, you know, it's an all league thing, but for Buffalo, it's especially difficult just because they've had so many good things going on for it that now it just seems like it's going all, the view of a lot of people is that it's going all for naught because, you know, they're going to stink regardless. But it's like, they weren't aiming for the playoffs. You know, I've seen Andrew Peters going off on the team on Twitter, and I'm like, dude, what were your expectations for this team? Like, I don't, you know, if you're thinking this team was going to be, you know, pushing for a playoff spot, you're out of your mind.
Yeah. With UPL specifically, the injury, I think we went from, at least I did, I don't want to speak for both of us, but I mean, we talked many times about before he even came up, how let's get him as many games in Rochester as humanly possible. Let's get him in front of a net. Let's get him game action every second as much as possible. I think my attitude at least became in Buffalo. All right, well, he's up here. He's certainly played reasonably well. He's played well enough to stay, you know, flawed, warts, not perfect, but he's played well enough to be a Buffalo Sabre goaltender right now, not a Rochester Amherst, in my opinion anyway. So my mindset was, let's see this guy play as many minutes as humanly possible with Buffalo. Let's get him as much experience as possible. That's why this injury, I do care, but I don't really care about them losing these games. If they play 15 games without him and they go 0-15, oh well. I mean, that sucks. But I'm more concerned or annoyed by the fact that that's 15 games of NHL action and UPL's not going to see because he's hurt. And what the hell with these Sabres goaltenders? Oh, I mean, there's four now on the long-term injured list. We've seen it last year. Leonard got hurt when he was here. Linus Allmark was always hurt. It's like you have to go back to like Bob Swovey and Don Edwards and shit in the early 80s, Tom Barrasso, before it's if that's the way it feels right now, before you had a Sabres goaltender that could stay healthy for more than a month. This team right now, generally speaking, reminds me, I always find a way to use a wrestling reference at least once per episode, at least once every couple episodes, and I'm going to use another one now. It's like when you follow a good guy in wrestling and he's chasing the title and there's always obstacles and there's always something. He's just about to get there and something happens and he doesn't win. There's a screw job. There's always something. Now, I'm not talking about the Sabres being good. I just want to see the Sabres with a full roster. I just want to get a good look with all these guys at once. I want to see Alex Tuch. I want to see Peyton Krebs. I want to see Quinn was up only for one night on Tuesday. I want to ask you about him in a second, but I want to see these guys play together. Like Cousins, you know, he's out. Mittelstadt's out. But then Cousins comes back. But then this guy's out. I want to see Don Granato coach his hockey team for just even a half dozen game stretch where they got all six, or not all six, where they got like all four of their lines. Like that, what we would expect for this time of year, where they should be, maybe a couple of younger guys are up, whatever. But we're not getting that because it's like, again, between COVID, between injuries, we're getting like an abbreviated view of this roster right now because we just can't see the goddamn roster. That is more frustrating to me right now than what their record is over the last 20-something games or whatever.
Yeah, that's and you know what? That's the most frustrating thing, I think, for the coaching staff and the management because they know. You know, even with, you know, even when, if I have to kind of say if, just because, you know, COVID seems to, you know, throw a landmine in front of people trying to put together a full lineup these days. But even, you know, when they get that full, you know, complement of forwards back and they can roll four lines and their defense looks as close to their top sixes as it can. Which, you know, not far off from doing that now, at least on the defensive side of things.
Right.
But, you know, forward wise, you know, Tuck's coming back, Opozo's coming back, you know, Thompson, we'll see how long he's out with COVID. But like, once you get it back to that spot where you've got all those guys, maybe you can see what they can do and hope that they can play well enough in front of the goaltending that maybe the goaltending doesn't matter as much. Like, you know, when you've got a full complement of NHL guys in front of a number three level guy like Dell is, because, you know, he's borderline NHL level, you know, it's whatever.
You're being nice.
I want to see what he can do. I want to see what he does now to see if he's improved at all. Like, I want to give the guy a break. I've been very harsh on him.
Okay. Fair enough.
I don't want to just, you know, I used to be in the burying business. I'm not in a burying mode anymore. I've stopped being a groundskeeper, I guess. But I do want to see how, like, having that full group in front of, you know, whoever's playing goal, see what they can do and see if they can, you know, play well enough to, you know, steal a few wins here and there and make up for, you know, maybe, you know, a guy who's going to give up automatically three or four every game, which is not what you want, but that's the reality of things right now, is because that's what you could be looking at. Because you saw the way Tampa Bay was able to do things the other night, you know, and they're one of the elite teams in the league. And, you know, that's where more teams are than not, I think, you know, especially in the East, because you got so many beastly teams playing so well now. But yeah, it's very tough to try to paint a smile on things right now with just all the guys that are out, the guys that are banged up, and the goaltending is what it is. It's very tough to be upbeat about anything happening right now. You were already searching to look for, you weren't looking for wins. You wanted to see guys play well. But right now, even the guys you want to see play well, a lot of them aren't even in the lineup now. So it's really tough to watch.
Yeah. One thing that, I mean, it only lasted for one game, but if we're constantly in search of looking for something to be optimistic about, Jack Quinn did make his Sabres debut on Tuesday night against Tampa. And I don't know, I thought he looked pretty well. What were your thoughts? And now he's backed up. He's back down to Rochester for now. But no, and he would have been up probably sooner had he not got mono and missed a month and they called up a couple guys. But anyway, they gave him a look. What were your thoughts?
I thought he played really well. It was pretty clear he was jacked up for the game. Like that, you know, that's not a pun. It's a pun, but it's not a pun, and it's not an intended pun. But he was definitely juiced up for that game. And he was, you know, he had a couple of opportunities there where, you know, you could see the excitement. He's just like, oh my God, let's go. And, you know, he took a shot one time and kind of fell taking it. Like, I get it, man. I'd do the same damn thing. You kidding me? Right. Get a wide open look and just be like, oh my God, let's go. And, you know, I'd be choking my stick to death, you know, squeezing it, just be like, let's go, man, let's play. But I thought he looked good. I mean, he was able to get some shots away. He probably gets a goal if Victor Hedman doesn't, you know, flash in front of him to get a block later on in that game. He was, a lot of what he did was what he's done so well in Rochester this year. He's been, you know, Mr. Right Place, Right Time, because, you know, a lot of people will put that up to luck. But it's like, no, you got to put yourself in those positions to be able to do that. I think Cousins might have been a little bit off that game, but he's still, you know, Cousins still does everything right. So even if he's, you know, a little bit off in some ways, he's still better than, you know, probably 85-90% of the guys the Sabres are putting out there anyhow. But I thought Quinn played very well. And that kind of peek at what he can do, I think it's nice to see, because it shows that what's going on in Rochester with some of the younger guys is not, you know, it's not an illusion. It's not, you know, it's not just like they're eating it up against AHL talent. Like they're playing good flat out, you know, just flat out good. And you know, Quinn and Peterka, each time when they got sent back, they had a monster game, first game back, and Quinn had a goal and three assists against Utica on Wednesday.
Yeah.
But, you know, listen, four point games don't just happen for guys. Rochester had two guys with 4 point games. Oskari Laaksonen had four assists. So it's really encouraging to see guys that when they get these opportunities, and they know, and you know, part of this is communication too. It's letting these guys know, it's like, all right, you're getting a game here, you're gonna go back, but like, just know that you're not getting sent back because you're playing badly. It's just like, this is just how it is right now. And those guys have responded. Like Peterka's been dynamite. It's unfortunate he went on the COVID list, but again, everybody's gonna find time in the COVID list this year. But Quinn going back and just lighting it up again was great to see. And it does raise the question. My pal Lance Lisowski at the news said, my podcast co-host as well, he said he'd rather see him up here in Buffalo, you know, while things are kind of in flux, but you know, that's not going to happen with guys like Tuck and Opozo coming back. Like you're not going to interrupt their development to just, you know, just because things are good, you know, because if you're bringing back Tuck and Opozo, like, okay, where are you know, where's Quinn going to stay playing? You know, is he going to, you know, does he stay playing with Cousins or does he slide down a line? Like, you don't want to do that. Don't mess with it. What you've been doing already is working. As far as their development goes, it's been working fine. Don't screw around with it. Just let it be what it is. And then, you know, when the second half of the season comes around and, you know, maybe you've moved some bodies out and you traded some guys, then, hey, maybe it's time to bring them up and see what you can do. Fans of Rochester will hate the hell out of that, because with those guys around, Rochester is a very dangerous team and could be in the playoffs. But that's neither here nor there right now. But Quinn was, I'm not going to say as advertised because, you know, it means different things to other people, but he was very good.
One more thing, and then I want to finish with our starting five draft. Semi-Sabres related, sort of. Mm-hmm. And we'll deep dive into this maybe a couple weeks from now. But Jack Eichel this week, back on the ice with Vegas, practicing. Obviously, that's going to be a very touchy topic with Buffalo Sabres fans. And I'm saying that shit mildly as can be. But, all right, now, so I believe they play in Vegas on February 1st, and we don't know if Jack will be back for that game. We will assume, if there's no setbacks, and I, for the record, hope he's not. I want the guy to be healthy as hell, man.
Right.
March 10th, we talked about this briefly last week, coming back to Buffalo. Mark that shit on your calendars, folks. Jack Eichel with Vegas coming back to face the Buffalo Sabres in Buffalo March 10th. All I want to ask you for today, and again, we'll deep dive more into this now, but your sense from being on Twitter, just talking to people, what do you think the fans' reaction is going to be? Let's just kind of fast forward in our mind a little bit to March 10th, and Jack Eichel takes the ice and he's touching the puck. What do you think the fans' reaction is going to be? How do you think they're going to treat Jack Eichel when he comes here as a member of the Vegas Golden Knights?
I think it's going to be more boos than not, just because boos carry more sound in the arena. Like, people aren't going to cheer him when he touches the puck every time. Like, that's, you don't expect that to happen. But there are going to be guys that will boo him every time he touches a puck. Like, that's, you can bank on that. Like, every time you mention him on Twitter, there's people crawling out of the woodwork to say, you know, that guy didn't want to be here, he's a loser, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
Have your say, pal. It's free country, man. Have your say. But I want to say that most people that have a really good grasp of what happened here and how things went here and the way things broke down here, I think we can all understand where Jack's coming from. And, you know, like, I think we all understand his point of view. Like, even the fans this year are not happy with the team and the way things are run. Like, nobody's liked how things have been run here. If anything, there's a jealousy factor because he was able to get out. He was able to get away from it. You know, fans are kind of stuck with your team and you got to live with it no matter what. So, you know, and I know, you know, it opens up a lot of discussions, which is good. It's great for us because we get to take advantage of that.
Sure.
But it opens up the talk about, you know, how things went, you know, the whole tank season and, you know, how everything was, how they tried to do stuff before. And it's all that stuff got so screwed up along the way and all of it just got botched all along. And that's, you know, I think that's the part where fans get most frustrated about it. And, you know, listen, there's always going to be a figurehead of it. And because Tim Murray's not still here, because Jason Bottrell's not still here, because, you know, Dan Bylsma, Phil Housley, and, you know, Ralph Kruger aren't still here. You can't boo them all the time. So when Jack comes back to town, yeah, he's going to get booed. And it's not his own doing. You know, it's going to be a different kind of situation. Well, it's a very different kind of situation because I'm thinking back to when Patrick Kane got booed here in 2015, 2016. There was a big reason why he got booed, but it affected him greatly. I mean, you're a local kid, you're getting booed in your hometown. Like, he was near tears after that game. So that was, you know, that's a game that they won. I think, you know, like that's a completely different situation. But in Jack's case, like, him getting booed here, it's not going to affect him. Like, it's, you know, it's going to roll off his back.
I agree.
Like, it's not going to bug him, but like, it's going to put a chip on his shoulder for sure. Cause in his mind, and I would agree with it, it ain't his fault. Right. You know, it wasn't his fault. It wasn't Reinhardt's fault. Was maybe not really Ristolainen's fault, you know, for how the team was built. Definitely not their fault. And it's definitely not their fault for the way it was run and the way it was handled. So, you know, but they're going to be they're the easy people to take out your frustrations on because they're right there in front of you. And you're watching them play for another team and probably beating your favorite team and just kind of like, well, why couldn't you do that here? It's like, well, it's not like they didn't try.
I agree 100% everything you said. I think the reaction from the fans, generally speaking, as a whole, is going to be negative. I think fans are going to boo the shit out of him. I also agree with you. I don't think he cares. I think he's just, it's just going to roll off his back. There's hopefully at some point we understand that this could just end up being a trade that's win-win for both sides. I think Vegas gets better with Jack Eichel as a superstar when healthy. And I think the Sabres, by getting, I don't say getting rid of, because I did not want Jack Eichel to get traded. I wanted Jack Eichel to stay here and be happy and want to lead this franchise. But that just wasn't going to happen. So with Alex Tuch, with Peyton Krebs, with a first-round pick, maybe the Sabres long-term with the locker room and everything else, is maybe both sides just end up winning when it comes to that. All right, let's do our starting five draft. This is always my favorite part of the show. Last week, I got to look at my notes here. So last week was a good one. It was a good category, and it was a pretty good poll, and I thought it was it was close, man. We did all-time TV game shows. I drafted The Price is Right. I had the first overall pick, too. I should start putting that out there. I had the first overall pick. I took The Price is Right. I also drafted Family Feud, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, The Newlywed Game, and The Dating Game. Joe drafted Wheel of Fortune, Jeopardy, Let's Make a Deal, Press Your Luck, and The Pyramid Show, like 64 different variations of it. You won 21-9 overall now, 53-47. I thought it was a good poll. I thought it was I thought it was pretty reflective. I thought it was reasonably, you know, sometimes I like to complain when I get my ass kicked. This wasn't an ass kicking, but sometimes I deserve the ass kicking, sometimes I don't. I think this was pretty reflective on how it should be. I think you won this by a little bit, and I think the fans obviously agreed with it. The interaction was good. The numbers were good. The key, which maybe I should, it's time for me to stop doing polls that have Jeopardy potential in them or Alex Trebek potential in them, because Jeopardy did very well for you. Understandably so, by the way.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an iconic staple in the United States, in America. It's Americana at its finest. So that doesn't surprise me. And I, you know, you got a lot of votes for that, as you should. Surprisingly, though, and I didn't see this coming, you did really, there was a lot of interaction with Press Your Luck.
Yeah.
That was surprising to me. Good for you, though.
You know, I think it's just because we don't need to rehash the entire discussion, but it's just, it's all the visuals and the iconography of that show. The whammies, everybody knew the whammies. Like, sure. Everybody knew that. And it was like I don't want to say it's the easiest game show you could play. It was pretty close, but it's easy with the questions. Like, you get your spins, but then like the play of it, it's a carnival game, dude. Like, it's a complete total carnival game. So you don't even have to be, it's a game you can't be good at unless you're on a completely wild mental frame. Like the one dude who was able to figure out the light and panel patterns, and it was able to like just soak the show for a giant payout. That's one dude. I'm sure there's other people that were capable of it, but they didn't get on the show. That guy did. Everybody else, man, all dumb luck, all complete dumb luck.
Yeah. All right. Well, this week is, again, anything 80s is near and dear to my heart. I love the 80s. I live for the 80s. I still do. It's my favorite era ever. We're doing best 80s movie soundtracks. I don't know how the poll is going to play out. Obviously, we haven't even drafted yet, but this is one, again, like I said, I'm really looking forward to this one. And based on me going first overall last week with The Price is Right, that's going to put you with the first overall pick here today. Yes. So let's get this rolling, man. 80s movie soundtracks. For everyone listening for the first time, we each draft five in snake order. So Joel go first, I get the next two, so on and so forth. You're up first, buddy.
I think this is the worst one to have the number one pick for, because you're going to get a great pick, but the next person in line gets two also really great picks. So I got to pick one that's going to really bother you, is how I have to do this. I have to pick one that you're just going to be like, come on, man. Why? No, I wanted that one. And to me, that's Top Gun.
Okay. Get that.
I think Top Gun, I don't know, man. Danger Zone still hits hard today. People still friggin' love that song. Even like take Your Breath Away. I mean, man, that I don't know, man. That's so cheesy, but it's also really good. And then like you have like all the oldie songs on there too. It's friggin' good. I don't need to talk up the Top Gun soundtrack, man. The whole thing's good.
It is good. It's great. It was in my top. You know what, though? I'm going to be honest with you, Joe. I'm looking at my list here as we're talking. Mm-hmm. I only had it 4. Take My Breath Away, by the way. Totally underrated 80s song. Now, I shouldn't say only 4. That means it's one of the greatest movie soundtracks of the decade. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you now, though, this is a personal pick for my first one. And I would have taken it had I had the first pick. I just want to put it out there. I couldn't not pick this and live with myself. By the way, I looked at a couple. I always do my homework. Not always, but I usually do my homework with these categories. And I'll look at like charts and what other people think. This wasn't even on the top 10 of most. But I'm saying it is my number one pick. The soundtrack from Rocky IV.
Okay.
Fucking love the soundtrack from Rocky IV. You have Burning Heart by Survivor. You have Hearts on Fire, John Cafferty. Living in America, James Brown. There's No Easy Way Out. Put it this way. If this wasn't going to possibly end up on YouTube, a clip, I would totally play some of these clips because I'm telling you right now, I would get so fired up right now. There's No Easy Way Out is one of my favorite, like, corny-ass songs ever. Like I said, Eye of the Tiger, I mean, that was from Rocky III, but it's also on the Rocky IV soundtrack as well. Mm-hmm. Plus a couple original scores. Rocky IV is not the best movie, but Rocky IV is the best movie soundtrack. It's my favorite of the entire decade. It's cheesy as hell, too. I know that. But it's isn't the 80s for the most part, like Top Gun's cheesy. 80s is about cheese. I think cheese is the word that's most associated with the 80s. So that's one. Number two, and honestly, I thought you might take this first overall. I'm running to the podium to pick this as my second pick. And again, people are listening to this. I'm going to flash this on the screen right now. Let me put up my full screen
real quick. I'm pretty sure I know what you're picking too.
Well, let's see if you do. Hold on. Now my mouse is messed up here. Messing up. All right. Here it is. I don't know if you can see this.
Yeah, I knew you were.
Can you see that, Joe?
Yes, I can.
For people out there who don't see, I am holding up the Prince Purple Rain album. Mm-hmm. This album is iconic. I got this for Christmas, by the way. My beautiful, sweet daughter bought me a record player and gave me a couple starter albums. And this was one of them for good reason, because she knows it's one of my favorite albums of all time. You got Purple Rain. You got Let's Go Crazy, When Doves Cry, which is one of my probably top 3 to 5 songs, movie soundtrack or not, of the entire 80s. Beautiful Ones, I Would Die for You. I can go on and on and on and on. So anyway, I feel good about that. Purple Rain, Rocky IV, you're on the clock. You got 2.
Yeah, no, that's Purple. If you didn't take Purple Rain, I was going to yell at you. And I was going to take it instantly. Because there, you have no excuse to pass on that. There's no way you could have skipped that one. You know, it's funny. I was like going through and trying to remind myself about, you know, some of these soundtracks, because you hear a song and you're just like, oh yeah, it's got to be from that one. And then it turns out it's not from that one. You're just like, okay, like, I guess it's, you know, it's either from like something from like 78 or it's something from like 90 or 91. You're just like, God damn it. Come on. But it also reminded me of some soundtracks where I had forgotten how good they were. And I feel like I should pocket those. And that's me thinking you're not going to take them.
Probably not.
If that costs me, I will own it immediately and scream when you pick when you pick one of those. I gotta go with Flashdance.
Good one, good one. It's on my list.
It's early 80s and like I know it gets forgotten about, but like,
not by me. It doesn't.
No. Like, but that's what I mean. Like it's a huge soundtrack. Like that was like one of the early movies where like the soundtrack was better than the movie.
Hot take too.
In my mind,
What a Feeling by Irene Cara is an iconic 80s song, but also from that soundtrack, Maniac by Michael Cimbello. I love that song. She's a maniac. Love that song. Good pick. Mm-hmm. I like that. That's a sleeper pick. We'll see how it plays out with fans, but I like that pick. I respect it.
Well, yeah, like there's that, and like there's so many other ones where it's like there's one big song on it, and you're just like, yeah, it came from that one, and then everything else on it is crap.
Yeah.
And you're like, I don't know if I want to do that. But I think one that really sits well with me, just for the overall, you know, picture perfect, like 80s. It's like a greatest hit 80s album in a way. And it's weird because it, I don't know, maybe some of these, maybe it's because some, I don't know. I'm overthinking it now. I'm overthinking it because it's one I was going to pick. I was like, oh, this is a great one. But like half the songs are from the 70s. So I'm just like, I don't know if that really should count, even though it's from the, like, it's a greatest hits album, but it's like, it's from the 80s, but none of the stuff is from the 80s. Like, you know, I don't need to get called on the carpet. So you know what? Screw it. I'm gonna pick the one that I said I was gonna pocket. Cocktail.
Tom Cruise. Okay.
Tom Cruise. Good movie. Do you remember the songs that were on?
I would have to look, but I do remember that I liked the soundtrack and I loved the movie. That was with Tom Cruise and Elizabeth Shue was in that movie, I believe, as well.
Yes.
I think Elizabeth Shue was in it. I love that movie. I watched it a million times.
Yeah. It's again, total cheese movie, but, the two big songs on that, and one reminded of the soundtrack because of Bob Saget passing this week, and he was on Full House, mm-hmm. and the song Kokomo is on that soundtrack.
Oh yes, 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 yes.
And
yes.
They Full House had a huge episode with the Beach Boys, and Kokomo was like one of the songs they played on there. I think
it was.
Okay, all right. That makes me feel better because I was just like, I think that was on there, but yeah. But like that was such a huge, that song was all over the radio constantly. And the other one, Don't Worry, Be Happy by Bobby McFerrin.
Like,
holy shit, dude, that's a gigantic song. And it was like, where did that come from? Yeah, it was on the Cocktail soundtrack. Like, good okay.
One. All right, that's cool. Fair. That's a good pick. Again, that's a sleeper pick. All right, so I got two here. I am, this movie, I'm laughing because again, I'm reliving the 80s and this is what I love doing. This shit was so fucking cheesy, this movie, but it's one of my favorite movies to this day ever. And I love the soundtrack. I didn't have this album. By that time, I was in the cassette. So I had this cassette, and I legitimately had it. The soundtrack from Footloose. I don't know how you feel about that movie, but your boy Kenny Loggins, I call him Sir Kenny Loggins, by the way. Your boy is a movie soundtrack god. You just talked about Danger Zone from the Top Gun soundtrack. He had I'm All Right from Caddyshack, of course. Caddyshack, yeah. He had Footloose here. Yesterday, I had another song on this one too. I'm Free, Heaven Help the Man from this Footloose soundtrack. You had Michelle Williams, Denise Williams, I'm sorry. Let's Hear for the Boy. Had Almost Paradise with Mike Reno and Ann Wilson. They did that duet. Bonnie Tyler, Holding Out for a Hero. Actually, you know what? I'm not going to lie. I did not like that song at all. I actually fucking hated that song. Dancing in the Sheets by Shalimar. That was a huge album in the 80s. One of the biggest albums of the 80s. The other one I'm going to go with is, which is very, again, very 80s. It fits the theme for me, is the soundtrack from the first, from Beverly Hills Cop. Nice. Loved that movie as well, or that movie and the soundtrack. I'm looking at the list here. Neutron Dance by the Pointer Sisters. I still get a little goofy when I hear that stupid song. The Heat Is On, Glenn Frey.
Yep.
New Attitude by Patti LaBelle. That's still a song I enjoy.
Also, and, the theme.
The Beverly theme. Axel F. Yeah. So, yeah, man, those were two very big, commercially successful movies. And these were kind of commercial, mainstream soundtracks. But I really liked them both. So I'm going to jump at the chance to get both of them. So, yeah, okay. Footloose and Beverly Hills Cop. That's going to put you on the clock for your last two.
You know what? I think you're winning this week. Because I'm going with...
I need it.
You do need it. You need very badly. I'm going to go to the end of the 80s for this one. And because you already took one Prince album, I'm taking another. It's Batman from 1989.
Mm.
That soundtrack, and I'm not talking the Danny Elfman score, but like the Prince soundtrack is a friggin' banger. Okay. Like that is Prince getting weird and also making some like unreal tunes. Like Bat Dance is amazing.
It is a good song. Weird though, but good. But good. You weird. Are right. You are right.
Party Man. I mean, the whole scene from the movie with Joker having the parade, and he's getting ready to poison the entire city, and you got Prince Party Man playing through the whole thing, and you got Jack Nicholson dancing around, and you're just like, hell yeah, let's go, man! Like, I'm down with this Joker guy. Oh, he's gonna kill us. Oh, you know, hey. I guess that's what else was I expecting? So yeah, Batman 89, man, dude, I freaking love that.
Okay.
If this was like a movie scores, 80s movie scores, I would romp all over you.
Yeah, that would be different. I admit that. Mm-hmm. I might not have, well, I still would have picked the ones I did and probably would have suffered for it.
I don't think you should have. I don't think you should change anything.
No, doing. I'm not going to.
Okay, good. Good. The other one, see, I'm kind of torn here. Nah, screw it. I'm going to go. Dirty Dancing.
You fucker. I only. Yeah. Oh, God damn it.
Yeah. I was like, is it that big of a soundtrack? Yeah, it is. It's a huge soundtrack.
Like, I said that as a knee jerk reaction. And I say that for one reason only. It's only because when you said Batman, so every week when you do these, just so I don't forget when I read them back, I actually, you know, I have a Microsoft Word open and I just type them out. As you put in Batman for my last pick, I swear to you, I swear to God, I typed in Dirty Dancing as my last pick. So I literally was going to run to the podium for a second time today to take Dirty Dancing. Dude, that soundtrack was awesome. I mean, you got the dad, you know, I've had the time of my life. I'm going to tell you, here's a hot take. Patrick Swayze, She's Like the Wind is a good slow jam, man. I like that song. Hungry Eyes. 100% is. Hungry Eyes. Those are all original 80s songs. Then plus you had a lot of songs from the oldies, a lot of oldies before that era that were on that soundtrack, like Be My Baby by the Ronettes. That was on there. That's a solid pick. I might like your fifth pick better than your second, third, and fourth rounders, to be honest with you.
That's fair. I mean, listen, I needed something. Excuse me. I needed something to kind of bail me out a little bit. So thank you for not picking it for me.
Yeah, I was on the verge because I did have Top Gun in my top four. I was on the verge of telling you that I had four of the top five on my list, five of the top six on my list. So if I lost, it wouldn't be because you stole anything from me, but you did. Nah. And I expected Top Gun to
hopefully go. Hopefully it throws you off and you make a horrible pick.
I was really hoping to hold on to Dirty Dance. No, I'm not going to make a horrible pick because these are all good to me. And at least I don't think these are horrible picks. It does come down to two. And I'll tell you which one I don't end up taking afterwards. But I'm going to, you know, I'm going to play this safe because I was a big fan of his and he's a big part of the soundtrack too. Back to the Future soundtrack. Huey Lewis and the News had two big songs on there. Back in Time and The Power of Love. That was on there. Earth Angel. There's some oldies on there. Johnny B. Good. So it's a combination of like Huey Lewis and some new songs or old songs on there. That's my safe pick. Not, it's not great. It's not, whatever. It's not a needle mover. All I want to do is not fuck it up. I was joking. When I was looking at this, I was like, don't make the Jimmy Snuka pick. Don't make the Alex Trebek is overrated pick. That's my only thing about this fifth pick. I was like, don't do something that's going to kill me and have everybody saying, oh my God, this and that. I think that's a nice safe pick.
No, listen, you have zero. The only one you reached on was Rocky IV, but like, honestly,
the first pick,
I can't argue that.
It's the, like, I'll,
your other picks are totally fine. Like Back to the Future is a perfectly good soundtrack.
Rocky IV. I would die on that hill with Rocky IV. That soundtrack gets me fired up completely. All right. So
I have it. I own it myself. You don't have to justify that to me in any way. Now, if there's people out there listening to this, they're going to be like, I don't like that at all. How long have you been listening to us talk about? movies and soundtracks. Like, come on. Funny.
Let me give you. All right. So let me recap. And then I'm going to give you the two other ones that I wanted to mention. All right. So to recap here, Joe took Top Gun, Flashdance, Cocktails, Batman, and Dirty Dancing. I selected Rocky IV, Purple Rain, Footloose, Beverly Hills Cop, and Back to the Future. Two quick things. Number one, when I was debating at the end, I was debating between Back to the Future and St. Elmo's Fire. I almost took St. Elmo's Fire. Mm-hmm. I thought that was a good soundtrack. And really, again, that movie was like the epitome. John Hughes movie, that was like the epitome. Yeah. Of the 80s, of that time, that era. Man in Motion by John Parr is a great song. And there's a lot of instrumental stuff on there. So when you were talking about scores, that's a really good movie with actual scores, although they're different types of scores. Yeah. And then there's another one, and it is from the 80s, and I'm glad neither of us took it because If you want to talk about hit songs, nothing we took tonight could touch any of these. There's the soundtrack from The Big Chill. But here's the problem. It's an 80s movie and an 80s soundtrack, but it ain't no 80s songs. They're all Motowns. You know, I'm looking right now. Heard It Through the Grapevine, Good Lovin', Joy to the World, You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Woman, Smokey Robinson's on there, Tracks of My Tears, My Girl by the Temptations. That's, to me, that's an 80s movie, but it's not, that's not an 80s soundtrack.
Yeah, no,
even if that's from the 80s.
That's what kept me from choosing that, because I was like, that's a Motown soundtrack, for crying out loud. Like, yeah. That's... It's a 50s, 60s, 70s, like, greatest hits. It genuinely is. Because, like, every song on that friggin' rules, but it's there's not one 80s song on that soundtrack.
No.
I mean, it's the movie that happened in the 80s that has a superb soundtrack. None of the songs are from that decade.
Let me get out of here by saying this. I refuse to discount your popularity on Twitter. And people voting for you no matter what. Not saying
don't
you haven't earned
like
your...
Not to, don't get that twisted. People love to take pokes at me.
Not to, you know, not to diminish your 21-9 record, because a lot of these have been thorough, deserved ass-whoopings. I'm going to say this. I'm not saying it's necessarily going to be 75-25, but if I lose this poll, that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that.
Okay.
If I lose this poll this week, I am going to be really discouraged. I am going to start to question what I need to do to win these polls. I might have to start questioning starting five drafts in general, because I feel more confident about this one that I have the better roster than I have in a long time. Not that yours are bad.
No.
I came to play today, dude. I brought my A game. This was a Josh Allen 370-yard. Four touchdown, zero sack, zero turnover game.
I just hope you didn't slip at the on that fourth and goal, or a fourth and one inside the five with Back to the Future is all. I don't think you did. If you don't get over 60% on this one, I'll be shocked.
Yeah. Well,
I feel very confident you're going to win this.
We'll see. I'd like to win. So, by the way, this will be up on Twitter on Friday. Go to either me on Twitter at PepperAndSweets or at Joe Yurden. This poll will be up. We'll both have it up. Make sure you check out the Main Estate podcast. Joe Yurden and Lance Lazowski from the Buffalo News. That drops every Monday. That's getting really good, too. I'm really starting to enjoy that. I think you guys are finding your pocket. That's really cool. Of course, subscribe to Joe's Noted Hockey on Substack. Good stuff coming there. I'm sure a lot more coming in the future as well. Bro, this was fun. And by the way, again, everyone's listening to this, but for the first time, we actually did kind of a dry run here doing this on StreamYard video as well. So I think we did all right. This is fun, man. I enjoyed this.
It was good training to try to stay looking at a camera instead of just like me farting around doing whatever I'm doing over here.
You're better at it than I am.
Looking at stuff and like, yeah.
You're better at it than I am. I got a lot of work to do, jerking my head around and moving and looking to the side and stuff like that. But good time, brother. Always fun, man.
Always a good time with you, man.